All right, I'm Matthew Gage. This is lesson number 3 for the Bus Mystery 101, part of Baptist Basics University. Once again, I want to thank you for listening. It's an honor that you would, for me that you would take the time to listen to this. I hope that it will be a blessing, a challenge to you. And lesson number 3, we're going to cover workers and responsibilities on a bus route. First thing let's cover is that in the bus ministry, you do need a hierarchy. You do need some leadership. You need a chain of command. If you don't have leadership, you're going to have confusion. You know, that's why back in the olden days of war, that they would always shoot. The Americans finally decided how to do this, but they'd shoot at the general because they figured out, well, if you shoot at the British general, then the redcoats don't know what to do because they don't know what to do without a leader. Well, we have the same similar confusion if we don't have any leadership. Same thing applies if we have too much leadership. We don't have any workers, so you know you got to have a good balance there. But there are just too many areas you need to cover, too many bases that need to be covered, to not have people in charge and not have people overseeing this. Now, the bus ministry is an area that you can have too many workers in, and it can happen very quickly and very easily, and hit you before you know it. This is especially true if you have a bus ministry that uses smaller vehicles, like a 15-passenger van or one of these like people movers that seat 20 or so. I'm not sure exactly how many most of them sit, but if you have a little shuttle van, I guess would be a better term. We call ours a people mover in our church, but I guess it'd be like a shuttle van would be a better description of that. But because of the confined space, even on a large bus route, you know, you don't need 10 workers on a big bus. Unless you have just a very rowdy bunch, you don't need 10 workers. Now, on a van, you don't need more than 2 or 3. You want to leave space for kids. You know, it's not, the bus ministry is not to get workers to church, it's to get kids to church. You just need enough workers to get the kids to church. So it is pretty easy to get away. Also, it is a great starter ministry, so a lot of young people get involved, and that's great. You can plug in your middle schoolers and your high schoolers in this ministry very easily. There's a lot of roles that they fit very, very well in. A lot of problem sometimes arises that some of these kids turn out to be nothing more than bigger versions of bus kids. And in that case, you need to get rid of them. You need to eliminate that distraction. That will happen to you if you're dealing with a lot of high school kids. But even because of starter ministry, a lot of people have a tendency to want to throw 2 or 3 or 4 high school kids on a bus route when they really don't need it. And the high school kids end up kind of becoming a clique, and basically they are just like having 4 extra bus kids. They whine and they want candy and they want to play the games and they want to sit and they don't want to do anything. You got to watch it. That'll happen. Way to prevent this, and the best way to deal with workers on a bus route, is that everybody needs a job. Now, there's not necessarily going to be everything, something for everybody to do 100% of the time. You know, from the moment bus driver starts that key up to pull out of the parking lot, you're not going to have something for 4 or 5 people to do. But when the kids start getting on there, hey, it's time to get to work. And people need responsibilities. And we're going to cover what some of these responsibilities they can have are. But if you don't have responsibilities for people, most people will not work. They will be just like having a big bus kid. And they end up being a liability instead of a help. Honestly, I've seen some people that were so-called workers that were worse than bus kids. And, you know, people didn't want to deal with them, didn't want to say anything. Hey, listen, I take my bus route very seriously. I take the workers on my bus route very seriously. I take even the discipline also. I take the discipline pretty seriously on the bus route. And I'm not going to let somebody I can control who's being there be a distraction. If there's a worker that's being a distraction, adios. We're not going there. Either you're going to work, you're going to be a help, or hey, we ain't got room for you. You're taking up space a kid can sit in. And once again, it sounds pretty harsh, and I'm kind of harsh. I'm not usually a very hard line. I think very hard line. I'm not a very hard line person. I'm actually a pretty kind person most of the time. But I do get worked up on some things, and that is one of them that bugs me. Every worker except for the driver in this statement, is in charge of maintaining order in their immediate area and keeping kids going with the program. You need to spread them out all throughout the bus. If you've got five workers on you and you've got a big yellow bus, spread them out. Workers shouldn't sit in the same seat together. Now, they can also, I don't really care, as long as they're not like a dating couple or something. I don't care if people sit in the same seat and they talk before and after we pick up kids. Or even if we have a couple kids on there, it's not such a big deal. But listen, once that bus starts filling up, I want my workers spread out. I want somebody in the back, maybe two people in the back. I want them spread out. I don't want there to be more than four or five rows without a worker. And what that worker's job is, in addition to whatever else responsibility they have, their job is to police their area. If there's a kid that's acting up, it's their job to deal with it, to try to get them to behave. If there's kids that aren't singing, it's their job to encourage them singing. Now, the best way to do that is to have them plugged in and them singing and them being involved, the workers, that is. But that is their job. Every worker, in addition to responsibility, needs to be in charge of making sure everything is going good in their immediate area. It bugs me to no end to see a bus captain or who's leading a program, or maybe it's not the bus captain, but the person that's leading the singer or something, have to stop, get onto a kid who's sitting in the row right in front of a bus worker. And the bus worker's just sitting there staring out the window. It bugs me to no end. That is their responsibility. I'm not going to say it never will happen, but it shouldn't happen. It honestly shouldn't happen. If it does, no big deal. Learn from it and go on. But the workers need to be in charge of areas. And let me tell you this, too. Most of the time, they won't do this on their own. You're going to have to tell them. You're going to have to say, hey, look, when we get kids on here, John, you got the back. And Philip, you're going to come up a little bit. I want you to come up four or five rows there, and you're going to sit there. And Susan here, she's going to be in charge right up front. And Emily, she's going to be back there kind of in about a quarter of the way back. And listen, now, y'all guys, y'all keep the kids going. I want y'all singing. You're going to have to tell these people these things. Most people just don't know what to do, and it ends up that the bus captain ends up doing everything, ends up running the doors, ends up getting on to kids, ends up dealing with a little girl that's crying because she misses her mama. Those are things workers need to deal with. Listen, honestly, a bus worker is there to keep as much stuff off the bus captain's plate. Now, as I say, this does not apply for the driver. The driver has one responsibility, and that is to drive the bus. Now, let me tell you something, though. If the bus driver sees it fit to stop and get onto a kid, I'm all for it. I want him comfortable above all else. He or she comfortable above all else. If they're uncomfortable, something going on, you deal with it. If the kids are getting too loud, calm things down. If you've got kids that are being rowdy and being distraction and they're not comfortable driving, deal with it. You have to deal with it. And listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not even necessarily opposed to a bus driver getting up and making a speech and getting on to kids. I've had it happen. It's embarrassing as all get out, but I'm going to tell you something. The kids straightened up when they did it. So, but the bus driver doesn't need to be trying to lead a program. I know some people that have done it, but that their number one concern is just drive the van, drive the bus. That's what they need to do. And don't saddle them with any other extra responsibilities if you can help it at all. Thank God for your bus driver. Thank God that they're willing to do that for you. A lot of people just can't do it. I don't think I could do it. I'll be honest, I don't have my CDL. Part of that's because I am just flat out not comfortable driving a big yellow bus. Driving a van wouldn't be a big deal, and I probably am going to get that in the near future, I hope. But I'm just not comfortable driving those. But a lot of people just aren't comfortable being on there with all those kids being rowdy and stuff. You need to thank God for your bus driver. You need to, buy them breakfast, buy them donuts. You need to shower them with kindness above everybody else, because you could not do what you're doing on a bus route if it wasn't for them driving that bus. You need to thank God for them and treat them like the kings and queens they are. That's free and not in the lesson, but that's important. That may be one of the most important things you can learn from this series. Let me give you a rundown of workers and responsibilities that you'll want to use. Number one, there needs to be a bus director. That's a term that we use to describe the person who is in charge of the bus ministry. They are above the bus captains. It is their job to make sure everything goes well. They should probably answer directly to the pastor, unless maybe you have like a children's minister, a children's leader type deal, and maybe he's under him. But nonetheless, as far as the hierarchy goes, the pastor's in charge of everything. That's the way we Baptists do things. Amen. The second thing, right underneath him, there needs to be a bus director, and he is the head man when it comes to this ministry. Below the pastor, his word goes. Now, the pastor says something, pastor's word goes, but under him, bus director, he's in charge, coming down the chain of command. He answers to the pastor or whoever's above him, but it's his job to organize, to promote, to maintain, motivate, delegate, clean, organize, or whatever. It's his job to make sure everything goes good. He needs to be the one that comes up with promotions. He needs to be the person to order the promotions. Now, bus captains are free to do whatever they want, but he needs to be in charge of putting together programs. He needs to be in charge of helping to find workers. He's the person that's going to be tracking down and putting people in charge of bus routes and assigning areas and maybe helping find some bus drivers. This is the person who is in charge of everything. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time dealing with this position in this series. It's very important. Now, honestly, a bus director could learn a lot from a lot of the practical stuff I'm going to teach about in this series, but I'm just not going to spend a lot of time with this because there's very few people that are going to be filling this role. I want to be dealing more with the workers and the bus captains in this series, but you need to have a person who is in charge of the bus ministry. The most important job of the bus ministry, I've covered it before, is the bus driver. And you, if it wasn't for them, you could not do what you do. Thank God for them. Treat them like kings and queens. Now, a bus driver does need to be adequately licensed. He also needs to be a safe driver. That should go without saying, but it needs to be said. And I have ridden with some who were not safe drivers, probably should not have been driving. I have been tossed around and just had all kinds of fun. I don't recall ever being in a wreck. Now, I've heard about some, but listen, you've got to have a safe driver. And going back to licensing, you want to check with your state requirements. Usually, as far as I'm familiar with it in Texas, to drive a big yellow bus, you're going to need a passenger endorsement, and you're probably going to need air brake endorsement if the bus has air brakes. You're going to have to check that stuff out, do a little research. Usually you can get a little pamphlet down at your Department of Public Safety, Department of Transportation, place you go to get your license renewed and stuff. Usually you can get the information from them on what you need. Also, you want to check with your insurance company. A lot of times insurance companies want to put a little bit extra restriction on this, and they'll tell you that only people above 25 need to be driving. I've heard that quite a bit, and that's not a legal thing. That's an insurance policy thing, kind of like the reason why your rates go down after you turn 25, and I believe it's 25. But it's kind of the same thing. But some insurance companies will probably be very particular about that. You want to check with them, and hey, you want to make sure you're covered. So play by their rules. It's not hard to do. They usually don't have as much interaction, the bus driver, with kids than the other workers. So they don't necessarily have to be the ultra friendly kid person. They could be a little bit of an older grouch, but they do need to be able to tolerate the kids and not get mad, not jump on the kids, not do harm. As long as they'll drive the bus, they don't have to say another word, as far as I'm concerned. I'm glad for them to do that. But, just make sure that they're not scaring the kids, that they're not doing harm. And, they've got to be comfortable around kids. And I've already jumped a little bit ahead. Talking about, but you need to kill these guys with kindness, these bus drivers, honestly. They don't get a lot of the glamorous deals. They don't get applauded when buses reach records or milestones. But listen, these people are the most vital, important member of the bus route team. And we do not do enough for them. We don't appreciate their sacrifice enough. Maybe they don't put the hours in, but hey, they've got to deal with driving a van full of kids and getting them safely home and safely to the church. Listen, these people are special people. You need to treat them like kings and queens. The next person we'll deal with underneath the bus director is the bus captain. The bus captain is the head honcho when it comes to your bus route. It's his responsibility to run an individual bus. And one captain for one bus is the best rule of thumb. Sometimes, and I've seen it work, sometimes you have co-captains, maybe a couple is the captain, you know, a married couple. And I've even seen some people just co-captains, a couple of friends. And I, up at Clay's Mill for a while, there was a couple of guys. In fact, they may even still be. But and even they started in high school. They were co-captains, just a couple of guys that were friends. They were co-captains of a bus route, and they worked together. You can do that kind of stuff. That's fine. But usually it needs to be one person. This person, his word goes. It's his duty to reach his area that he's been assigned. Now the bus captain doesn't necessarily need to be the person who's leading program or leading singing or. He doesn't even have to be the face of the ministry. I like to use that term for the person who's kind of, you know, the person the kids see and interact with. And, you know, if you ask kids, whose bus do you drive? They say, oh, Brother John. Well, Brother John is definitely then the face of the ministry. Let me tell you something. He may not be the bus captain. Maybe he's the person that leads the singing and plays the games with them. But you've still got to have somebody who's organizing, who's running things. So I don't want to sit here and just say that, you know, well, the bus captain ought to be leading the program. Sometimes the bus captain is a great organizer, a great visitor, and he can't lead singing for nothing. So you find somebody to work with him, or let him recruit somebody to work with him, and they make a great team. But I just don't want to fall in that trap, because maybe there is somebody out there. Usually I'm not too concerned about the minority thing, you know, something that only applies to a minority of people, not talking about individuals and groups by race and stuff there. But you know, I'm not usually not concerned about stuff that just hits a minority of people. But this is one thing I just want to let you know. Bus captain doesn't have to do it all. But the bus captain is the person who is in charge. He's the person that makes the executive decisions when people need, when we decide who do we visit first. His word goes. This is the guy that runs it. Okay, that's the role of the bus captain. Now I'm gonna hit some more things. These people that I'm gonna cover here should be underneath the bus captain. They need to be, and some of these even one person could do more than one of these, but these are different roles and responsibilities that somebody can play on the bus route. This is where your high school students or individual workers would do. These are things that people need to be assigned to do. First thing I would have, and honestly, this would be the first thing I got if I was starting a new bus captain or a new bus route, and I had my bus driver in place. Probably the first thing I'd find is a runner. A runner is a person who runs, not walks, to doors when we pick up kids. We pull up to the house, door flies open on the bus, and like a streak of lightning, here goes so-and-so, and they run up to the house, they knock on the door, and, you know, talk to the parents. And if the kids are coming, they come back with the kids. Now, it's okay to walk back if the kids are there, but this is a person, they need to run. Don't get a very large, horizontally enhanced, politically correct term there, person to be doing this. You need somebody that can move. It's all about quickness. We don't want to waste time here. This is great for a high school kid or a young guy. Turn them loose. Let, you know, somebody's got way too much energy. They know what to do with. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was in Lexington, I did a lot of this, and I am not a skinny person. I right now weigh, well, doesn't matter what I weigh. I weigh less than 300, more than 200. So it gives you an idea of kind of the, my frame there. I'm husky. I'm a little big for my age, but ha ha ha. So where was I? But I actually even did this, and I'm gonna tell you, you know, hey, I wore comfortable shoes and I ran to the doors. But this is just, it takes a huge burden of responsibility off the bus captain to have somebody that can do this. You don't have to, that way the bus captain doesn't have to abandon the bus route to go see if the kids are coming. He can stay on the bus, keep a program going, keep the kids occupied, keep songs singing and games playing, instead of having to stop everything every time we stop at the house or stop right in the middle of a song. I've had to do it on weeks where, you know, maybe we didn't have as many workers and we're kind of shorthanded, and I was trying to lead singing and run the doors. And I would have to cut out right in the middle of a song and go knock on the door. It's not fun. So, I mean, honestly, the runner is very important. And probably the best person you can get for this is a little scrawny high school kid that just has way too much energy. Just get them on the bus, feed them an energy drink, and they're ready to go. But that's a very important job there, the runner. The next thing is a program leader. Whether it be the captain or not, someone needs to be leading a program on the bus. Hey, you've got a captive audience. Take advantage of it and try to do some good. Try to instill some good things in these kids' hearts. You know, they don't just have to learn about Jesus at church. You can teach them biblical truth on the bus. Now, we'll cover some stuff about the program. The best thing you can do is sing songs. You can play games also. Some people even preach, but you need to have something going. There's a saying I've heard. I think I heard it up at college. I can't remember exactly where I heard it at the moment, but went something like this: if you don't have a program, kids will. And basically, what that means is, if you don't have something going, kids will find something to do. So what you want to do is keep them occupied, keep them busy, have them singing songs. Now, of course, you're not usually going to get 100% participation. You're going to have kids do their own thing anyway. But I'm going to tell you, this prevents so much discipline problems. It prevents so many distractions and interferences. If you can just lead singing, it is so simple. And we're going to cover that in a later lesson. So I don't want to get too wrapped up in it. All right, moving on. Had to stop there and answer the phone. So if it sounds like a little bit of break there, I apologize. But moving along, talked about the program leader. Now we'll go on to the next very important role, and that is the role of the bouncer. That's what I'd like to call him. You may want to call him the enforcer. You may just want to call him the bad guy. But if you have especially a large route, if you have a small route and you're on a van, this is not a very important role. But if you have 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, hundreds of kids on your bus route, you will want at least one person whose job is to keep the peace. And you need somebody who can honestly be a little bit physically intimidating to the kids, and I'm not saying scare them, but you need somebody who can deal with unruly kids. And this doesn't need to be the person that leads the program. Can be the bus captain, I guess, but the person who leads the program needs to be a good guy. He needs to be the guy that be their buddy. Not saying he can't get on to people, but this is the person that just deals with problems when just telling a kid to stop it doesn't work. They do need to be consistent, but they also need to try not to be everybody's buddy 1 minute and then scold them the next. It's not a very fun position to be. Now, I'm going to tell you, I played this role for 2 years in amongst everything else, and it's not a fun role to do. And I hope nobody out there just has a mindset that they enjoy getting on to little kids. I'm sure somebody out there does. But this is not a fun role, but it's one that you need. I'm going to tell you who works very well for this is a high school guy. Get a big high school guy, you know, football player type, and who just, you know, honestly, it does something to their ego to, you know, to put fear in the little kids. You know, find somebody that doesn't overdo it. But you need to find somebody that can deal with these kids. And honestly, a high school guy usually works very well. This person, let me cover this real quick, and I hope I don't say anything wrong when I'm doing this, but this person is the person who's probably going to deal with a kid when they need to be physically restrained. And I don't think I've covered this anywhere in the notes, so I'm going to just throw this in here for free. Listen, you don't need to be touching kids. I don't care if it's taking their hand to help them up the steps or hugging them or whatever. You do not need to be touching kids nowadays. You are asking for a lawsuit. Just call up the Christian Law Association and ask them. Don't touch kids. That's the best rule of thumb. Now, let me tell you something. I don't hug kids on my bus route. I don't hug kids in children's church. Now, sometimes kids will run up and hug you. You can't necessarily stop that. I do not encourage it, and you shouldn't either. If a kid runs up and hugs you, maybe one quick pat on the back or something. You'll put your arm around, one quick pat on the back, and you're done. Don't linger it. Don't go there. You're asking for trouble. Going along with this is sometimes you will have kids that need to be physically restrained. That happens. I've seen fights break out. I've heard some horror stories about some gang fights and stuff on bus routes. I never had to deal with that. I very rarely even had to have kids even getting any scuffles on my routes. Partly due to some areas I was in. But it does happen, especially on a large inner city bus. You're going to have problems like that, and you need somebody to deal with it. And the reason, one of the main reasons I say a high school kid, is it is not as bad for a minor to be restraining a minor. It's still not good because they are part of the bus ministry, but it is not a good thing for an adult to be restraining a minor, restraining a kid. So that's one reason I would say get a high school age kid to do this, because it's not as bad. I'm saying that very hesitantly, but that's one reason to do it that way. Now, this doesn't give them just a carte blanche, or however you say that in French, to do whatever they want to and physically, harass kids. And it does not go there. They need to have the same restraint about physical interaction with kids as you do. But if the time comes and a kid needs to be held down or held back off of somebody, this is the person that really honestly needs to do it. Now let me tell you honestly, you can physically restrain a kid if they are threatening harm or causing harm to another kid, or possibly to themselves. That is permissible. But I'm still saying, just don't go there. You are asking for problems. You're asking for a lawsuit. You're asking for trouble. And listen, in today's society, it just takes once. One slip up, one bruise on a kid. You may not even mean to put there. It's just you grabbed him because he's trying to throw a punch at somebody. They get a bruise, or you touch them in the wrong spot. I don't want to be too crude, but something like that happens. A lawsuit. You may be cleared, but you could kill your bus ministry. And let me tell you, you could kill your church. That is how seriously this stuff needs to be taken in interacting with kids. Now, I'm not an expert in that. I can't tell you the laws and what you can and cannot do. So take everything I've said with a grain of salt. I'm going to recommend that you get with the Christian Law Association. I believe their website is cla.org. I may be wrong on that too, but you can look it up. Look up David Gibbs Christian Law Association. Google it. Look on Yahoo. But get with them. They've got the information on this stuff. They'll tell you what you can and can't do. They will scare you. You probably won't even want to have a children's ministry once you get done. But listen, it's very important. But as I say, it's better for a minor to be dealing with minors physically, okay? So that's some advice I want to give you, and a warning, and probably the best advice I can give you in the whole course is better check out with Christian Law Association about cans and can'ts and do's and don'ts, and listen, they'll save your ministry. People like that. There's some other ministries out there like it. Christian Law Association is just the biggest, but especially kids' mysteries. You cannot be too careful. You cannot be too careful. Let's go off the negative. Let's talk about the roll taker. The roll taker. This person is in charge of keeping track of people who ride your bus. You need to be keeping roll of who gets on your bus. It's good to keep count, you know, and you can do that by counting the names on your list. You need to know how many people you got. It's good because you can double check when you go to head home. Make sure you got everybody. You had 17 when you left, or 17 when you came to the church. You got 17 when you went home. That's the way it works. It's also a great idea to have a good record-keeping system. That way you know who's there, who's not, even down to the workers. Honestly, you probably can't be too detailed in this matter. This is something I'm not even that great at doing this. You can get stuff through BB Publications, Church Bus News. You get with them. They've got some record-keeping material and forms and binders and such. I recommend them. But that will save you big trouble if there ever is a hassle. But this person's job is to get names of kids to get on the bus. Also, good job for them is if you have visitor get on or new riders, they need to get, you know, vital information from them, phone number, name, address, etc. If you don't already have that, hopefully you do, but every now and then you have a cousin spend the night and, you know, something like that, and that you won't have that information on before they get on. So that's their role. Now, there's probably a lot of other stuff you can think of doing. You can have a greeter. You could have, I don't know, a candy passer outer. But those are just some basic things. And if you don't have these roles, honestly, these are pretty vital, especially on a large bus route. Van, may not have room, but large bus route, you want these things. All right, if you'll stay tuned for the next lesson, we're going to start in lesson 4, cover how to start a new route. And that'll be a blessing challenge to you, hopefully be help. Even if it isn't a new route, maybe you can glean some stuff on it to enhance your route. So hope you listen to them. Thank you.